They do it with a sense of entitlement. Now, when somebody can go out into a society like Israel and then treat a neighbor the way they have, an indigenous neighbor, people that were there before them, with such callousness and such cruelty, that has to tell you that there is something terribly wrong with the psyche of the entire nation. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that as a nation, the country of the nation of Israel is a psychotic beast. And in spite of its small size of 4 million, it is a cancer on our globe. And nothing short of eliminating that entire society's control over that region is going to work. We have to. Now, that's not to say, we need to go to war against these people. I don't know how we're going to do it. I hope that they, by their own sickness, undermine their own society and leave it in ruin. Because basically, we can't continue to have this country in the family of nations. They have no right to be here. They haven't earned it. What they have earned instead is the hatred of the rest of the world by their actions. And they act out of sickness often. I mean, there are examples, ladies and gentlemen, of these people sending diplomats to foreign countries who are caught in pedophile rings or in murder for hire rings or major multi-million dollar drug trafficking rings. And instead of turning these people over for prosecution in this foreign country, they're allowed to go back to Israel and remain completely free of charge, free of investigation. There are no treaties with this country. So as I look around our globe, I see that there's so much to educate people about. There's so many things to examine. I mean, if you go to my website, there's so many sources of great information, so many books, that you can spend weeks, months learning, reading, studying, understanding, and sharing with other people. And you can do it without sensationalism. You can do it with a slow and powerful deliberateness that will allow you to convince other people that this is the path we all need to take. Otherwise, we're finished. I mean, they will succeed. This 1 in 25,000 on our planet will succeed in becoming the leaders of this world, and they will take us all over if we don't stand up. And once you've understood the level of their depravity, the suffering that is going to come with their leadership is going to be far worse than what we've already experienced. And anyone looking around in today's world knows that this world is a terrible mess. I mean, family values and sexual mores and the greed and the self-interest that people display in their daily lives is at a level that shocks most people when they look at it. And we've become immune to it because of it. It's so prevalent. It's so around us every day. We're inundated by it every day. We need now, ladies and gentlemen, to shake off the sickness. I had a caller on CII on Tuesday said the young people don't care anymore. They don't want to listen to their parents, to their families. They don't care about traditions or culture. I think that's a little bit overstated. I believe people do inside themselves innately want to have their roots. And I know that if the noise and the all of the cacophony of troubled things around them begins to be moved out of the way, people do have a tendency to want these other values. I mean, I signed on to the stupidity when I was in the 1970s, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the rock stars and the music and the Rolling Stones and the Doors and all of this stuff. I was part of enjoying, and I must say at the time I did enjoy this music. I did enjoy this lifestyle. But what I found out over time was there's nothing there when you finally quiet yourself long enough to take a look at it for real. There's nothing there. you begin to feel empty. And now, even though I grew up on most of that music, most of that rock and roll, it isn't what I listen to. I find it to be a vexation rather than a pleasure. I find it, it doesn't bring me a feeling of nostalgia, but rather it makes me feel disquieted and in some ways unhappy. I don't listen to it. I listen to something that soothes my savage breast rather than inflames it. And you will find that young people do want the same things over time. What we need to do is start explaining to people that these things, socially and morally, have been foisted upon them intentionally as well. So, I had intended today, by the way, we had a guest marked on my website, and everybody's probably has been expecting Muhammad Rafiq to come on. Well, Muhammad, I couldn't find him. He didn't make his call. I called before the show and wasn't able to get him. I hope he's okay. He was scheduled on today. Instead, I had to come up with something for you today. And I thought maybe if you knew some of the motivations and how I got to these ideas, you might understand better what I think we need to do in the future. So with that, I'm opening up the phone lines for the second half of the show. I enjoy greatly listening to some of the questions that come in from the CII audience and from people worldwide. And, you know, having a worldwide voice, having people listen to me from all parts of the globe, and it's not huge numbers, ladies and gentlemen. When you think that the last show I said 2.4 billion, it's actually 6.4 billion people in the world. When you think about the 20,000 people that listen to me on the web and the people across Pan-Africa that are listening right now, I am a small speck on the globe. However, all good ideas, all great change, all things start small, ladies and gentlemen. They all start with one. All things. Every idea that's ever been on our earth starts with one. So just bear that in mind. I think we have a first caller. Who's up on the line here?
Hi, good evening, Daryl. It's Abu Bakr, yeah?
Hi, Abu Bakr. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How's your week been this past few days?
Well, you know, I've had health issues, Abu Bakr, and taking it easy, actually, trying to slow up a bit and recover a bit.
Sure, yes, yeah. Yeah, and I was coming to this issue of how the Zionists have, gained dominance, in the world and, have gained the upper hand. As you sort of, alluded to, several things, amongst other things, besides the, control of the media, is, firstly, they've had, over the centuries, through the usury system, they've built financial dominance, through that.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And then, as in, the past century or so, through, the media, they've gained dominance there. They're controlling the minds and hearts of people.
Can I interject here, Abu Bakr, because I want you to know something. Early in this past century, the real centers of money power in the world from the Jewish community were based almost exclusively in Europe. The turn of the century saw a crime wave born in the United States, and it was really given birth through the abolition of alcohol. When alcohol was made illegal in the United States, when it was not legal to own, what happened was Jewish manufacturers such as Brothman and Jewish criminals such as Meyer Lansky got involved in, and you've seen these movies on TV, the old machine gun gangster movies and everything, that the old American gangsters, seen Al Capone and the rest. These people were supplied and made multi-millionaires through illegal alcohol manufacture. That was the beginning of the American side of this criminal crime wave. They made it through illegal means. Now, parts of their community had already been involved in crime, but crime has always been a huge part of what they do, aside from usury. They've been involved in the opium trade through the West Indies Company. They've been involved in the cocaine trade for the last 30, 40 years. My point being is that don't discount their propensity to be criminals as part of their riches.
No, I agree with you totally there. Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing is, well, you know, in a way, you could give them, you know, some credit, is that they've smartly, you know, get their people into, you know, the sort of top positions everywhere. And, you know, one of the things I say, you know, the upside of what they do is, you know, as far as education, you know, they get well educated and, you know, especially in the media, you know, they make sure they control all the top positions, and even in other, you know, spheres of activity, they also, you know, dominate, you know, they have their men in key positions, and, you know, from there they can control the rest. So, you know, the lessons that we, from the rest of us, going to learn, you know, that means the people they call the Gentiles, but the non-Jews, is, you know, we've got to find alternatives. Firstly, you know, as you mentioned, I think on Tuesday, they, you know, all the multinational corporations are mostly Zionist controlled. So we've got to, you know, relieve ourselves of their dominance by finding alternative companies and to boycott their media, boycott their products. You know, we need to identify to say, okay, look, these companies, whether it's Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson,
or whoever. Coca-Cola, yes. But see, here's the problem with that, Abubakar, in today's modern world. There's almost no businesses that they don't own anymore. This is the end game for them. What I've discovered in my research is that this is the final purchase they're making. If we fail to fight back against these people now, every single means of production, every major company, everything will be in their hands. So you won't be able to buy anything without having it run through their fingers. And I dare say even some of these Islamic investment funds are being funneled through Jewish hands. I mean, you may say, okay, well, you know, it's compliant in some way or this or that.
Definitely.
But in
not.
The final analysis, yeah. Those funds are still being run through the same criminal gang.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you know, and especially, you know, as just to repeat myself, what I said the other day, is, you know, the Muslims, and especially people on this radio station, need to be really wide awake and not get carried away with greed. You know, the whole thing is, you know, the greed gets the better of us, and, you know, we part of this oppressive system when we go, you know, sort of, you know, headlong into these, you know, investments and do not thoroughly investigate. As I said, you need to do your homework, you need to study, and this is where we, you know, lots of people are lacking in gaining knowledge.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I do want other callers to come on, Abubakar, but I want to say one last thing.
Sure.
One thing that you mentioned early on was very true, and it is something that each and every one of our non-Jews must start thinking about doing. It's the investing in ourselves. That
right.
being, one of the things that people have failed to do, and the Jews have always done, is put a great value on education, as you rightly yeah. pointed out. What that has afforded them is the ability to take positions in the society that are always in a leadership role. Instead of a family, investing in a brand new car, why not get their son or daughter a fabulous education or something that's going to vault them in society into a leadership role? Because what happened, and there are societies that have done this. The Chinese are very good at pushing their families to higher levels. In the United States, for example, the Chinese are not a large part of the population, but they certainly are a large number of doctors and lawyers.
Yes.
Because they placed a high amount of value on their children being successful and contributing back to the society and to the family. And I noticed that, you know, if we follow this junk on television, we're instead of investing in our families and our family lives, we're investing in trinkets and baubles and things that aren't important, and new jewelry and diamonds and things that are empty things.
And I agree with you totally. Couldn't agree with you more on that. So, you know, we really got to change our value systems.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to get our priorities in order. Just a last thing. is, you know, if, as you mentioned about the control in the beginning of the last century, you know, with the alcohol, and even locally here in South Africa, we have SAB Miller, which is also very Zionist controlled.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, enslaving the population, exactly as you've been saying. You know, they get people, you know, involved in trivialities and, you know, waste their time. And, you know, especially the indigenous population here, they are so, you know, imbibed with the, you know, spirits, is, you know, they lose focus. And this is exactly what the Zionists want to, you know, do. You know, just keep people busy in, you know, trivial pursuit.
And what do they? They feed them alcohol and then send them to a football game, don't they?
Yes, all sorts of things like that. And I mean, we call them shebeens here. And I mean, you know, they sort of spring up all over the place. And I mean, the you know, the indigenous people get involved in you know, endless fighting, and you know, that's how they keep them subjugated. So,
right.
You know, the population worldwide needs to know that, you know, the ills of alcohol, and this is exactly how these people make money. So we need to boycott all these, and I mean, you know, a more concerted effort needs to be made to sort of, you know, you know, forbid alcohol, sort of, you know, or to limit it.
Well, you see, forbidding something makes it more popular. What we need to do is educate people away from it as early as you can in their lives.
No,
in other words, once you start making something illegal, people, for some reason, gravitate toward it. We can see that with marijuana and drugs and the rest of it.
Yes.
My point being is that it becomes the forbidden fruit, and people tend to want it.
Yes.
What we should do instead is try to express and expose people to the values that, I mean, I didn't have that. There was a drug explosion, an alcohol explosion in the 1960s in the United States. We went through a terrible national crisis of identity in the United States, where lots of drugs were inflicted on the public, and young people took them liberally, and it had a devastating effect on the society. And had that not happened, I can't imagine how much better America would be today. But the fact is, the residual damage done by that is that there are many people within the generation I came from who have had lifelong handicaps as a result of that kind of socializing and that kind of socialization. So, you know, what we can start to do right now is understand what they're doing and try to counter it. And the first thing that I think people should do is shut the television off.
Definitely. Most definitely.
First thing.
Yes.
Anyway, Abu Bakr, I want to get some other calls in, and I thank you very much for the call.
You keep up.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Anybody else up, ladies and gentlemen? Who's next?
Hi, good evening, Mr. Dano.
And who am I speaking to?
Miss Amina Sherif from Azadville.
Okay.
I'm actually phoning with regards to the oil price that's dropped so low. I would like to know what is the reason for the oil price going so low, who controls it, and on the other hand, my opinion with regards to the people being uniting and against jealousy, against people, we shouldn't be jealous for one another. That is an opinion, solution for uniting. And that is how the Jews come up. They're not jealous for one another, and they're actually standing with one another and uniting. So that is how come the reason why they are actually coming up in life.
Not entirely. I think the deck is stacked against us. And the fact is, Jewish families and Jewish people, they don't watch much television, to be honest with you. What they do instead is they bring their families to opera, and they bring their children to symphony music, and they expose them to cultural events. They spend money on enriching their children's lives. They put a great demand on them as far as performance in school. So, in other words, in every quarter of their lives, they're being groomed to be part of the elite. Whereas most people in society, you know, by the time you get done working a 10-hour day and you've already spent all your energies, you get home, generally speaking, you're not paying the right attention to what needs to be done for your family. And I, you know, I can admit myself that when I, you know, my children are grown now, but when I was a young man and I had children, I didn't spend the right time with them. I should have done more. In spite of both my children having college degrees, they're both university graduates. It's still not. It wasn't. I could have done more. I did a lot, but I could have done more. My point is that it's going to take generational change to fix this, because it took generations to destroy us. And first thing is to be aware of how they destroyed us and who did it. And television is the first thing we have to turn off. I'm gonna keep saying that. If it's the last thing I say, that box that sits in everybody's house is poison. It shoots poison out at the people watching it, and that's all I can tell you.
Yes, no, I agree. It's poison. I'm not really a television person. I don't watch TV.
Well, the other thing is, you asked about the oil. Oil is dropping because businesses are closing and laying people off. There is a worldwide contraction of the economy, and there is such a desperate moment right now in finance worldwide that what they're seeing is people are not driving as much, companies are not using the fuel, and the demand is dropping precipitously. So there's a glut of oil in the markets. They're not using it up, and the price is dropping. That's the main reason.
Animus, that all. Thanks for your time, and may the Almighty protect you and your family as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And another caller on.
Good evening, dear love you.
Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Abdullah from KZN in South Africa.
Abdullah, how are you again?
I'm very well. It's always a pleasure listening to you. You talk a lot of sense.
Well, thanks.
You know, I'm just disturbed, Daryl, about the paralysis that the world community shows, you know, to Zionist atrocities.
I'm
currently reading a book by John Pilger, you know.
Yes,
if you would kindly allow me, I just want to read a very small passage, you know. This is about, you know, the terror that the Israeli government, did on the people of Jenin very recently.
Okay.
And one of the inspectors of the United Nations that was finally got access to this point, you know, he made the statement. He says, grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions were made.
Mm-hmm.
Atrocities have been committed daily, hourly, even every minute by the Israeli authorities against Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Israeli forces have consistently carried out killings when no lives were in danger. More than 600 Palestinian homes have been systematically demolished, making thousands homeless and a vast majority children. Amnesty delegates investigated the Israeli army's recent attacks on towns, including refugee camps. In each instance, tanks had entered the area, rolling over cars, running over walls, breaking down houses and shop fronts. Heavy fire was used against densely populated residential areas. Electricity, water, and telephones were cut off.
Well,
in treatment apparently intended to hurt and degrade the population, Israeli soldiers who occupied apartments had systematically trashed them.
Well, let me comment on that. I appreciate you reading that, but let me comment on it. We have been in a world where the value of human life is in many eyes of many people's eyes limited, and which is a sickness. It is. We can go back into the American experience, the United States, what it was expanding westward, and what we did, what the American people did to the indigenous American Indians is no different than what the Israelis are doing right now to the Palestinians. We poisoned them with disease. We gave them smallpox by giving them blankets full of smallpox virus on it. We starved them. We shot them. We displaced them. We moved their entire populations all around the continent. But that's not all. The Australians did the same thing to theirs. They did it to the Maori in New Zealand. The Canadians did it to the Inuits. What I'm trying to say to you right now is that this murder, genocide, ethnic cleansing, chemical poisoning has been going on our planet forever. And there are sinister and criminal people who have always been willing to kill, to get what they want in this world. Now, my guess is there will always be that kind of person around. What we need to do today, if we're ever going to hope to change the world from the way it is to start taking a look at how we can counter the things that they've been doing, because for the first time in our lives, for the first time in anyone's life, we've got communication that makes their crimes available to be seen by all. You can see it on the internet. You can find it in almost every walk of life today, because this information age is exposing the crimes that these people are committing. If we had been able to see what the Americans were doing to the Indian populations 100 years ago in the Southwest, maybe we wouldn't have done it. If we were able to see what the Maori people went through at the hands of the New Zealanders or the Australian Aborigines went through or the Inuits went through or the Koreans went through on the hands of the Japanese you understand my point here.
Yes,
we have always been barbaric toward minorities. What we have now is an opportunity to tell the world that people are doing these things and we need to stop them. It's a once in a lifetime chance, because right now the world is free to see information. That's going to change. The internet is going to get shut down. They're going to stop you from having access to the truth. And again, we will go back into the dark ages where people can act with impunity. Today we're exposing their crimes because the internet is showing them to be the criminals that they are. The same thing happened at the advent of the printing press. If you go back in your history, when the Gutenberg printing press first came out and was widely available around the world, mass numbers of books were printed about the truth, and they didn't know what to do, and the truth started pouring out everywhere. The Catholic Church at the time held sway in Europe, and they lost their control over Europe as a result of the printing press. What ended up happening was they could no longer control information. But lo and behold, time passed, and the printed word became corrupted, and now if you go, you know, they can control the printing of books. They own the rights of distribution. You can't get a book printed up if you want to tell the truth about something. Nobody will publish it for you.
Absolutely.
So my point is this, okay, we have an opportunity here. It's a rare opportunity. It's a point in history where we will not revisit this if we fail to take advantage now. And that is that free information is available on the internet, and it's for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years, we have a chance to educate the entire world, and we need to take advantage of it. We must.
Daryl, very quickly, you know, how did the United Nations ignore such, devastation?
The United Nations is part of the Zionist criminal network. That's how.
Okay.
That's how.
They
set it up themselves. It was originally set up by them as the League of Nations that failed. And what happened was, after World War II, they were able to get their control of the United Nations over on everybody. And that, in fact, it's the same money lenders that are controlling the UN and the World Bank and the IMF and the World Health Organization, all in the same hands of these criminal Zionists. So, and that's why nothing has been done about the Israeli treatment of the Palestinians. Okay?
Thank you, Daryl.
You betcha, my friend. It was nice talking to you again.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, bud.
We have another caller on the line. Anybody else up? You know, the lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to the website to get the phone number. I believe it's 0027-11-494-7007. That's the number to call in the office to the technician, put you right on the air with me. I talked tonight for a while. I mean, I had not had this in mind to do tonight, because of course I had planned to talk about finances with Mohammed Rafiq, and in fact I could have spent this whole time talking about this crisis. You're going to hear a lot of stuff about it. This crisis is going to take up every front page of every newspaper that's being sold worldwide. We are all coming up on terrible times. However, it is also an opportunity for us. And how do I mean it's an opportunity? Listen, during times of great tumult and change, things can get out of control for the controllers. They themselves don't know how this is going to play itself out, especially with the wild card of information coming from the Internet. And I urge everybody in the listening audience tonight to take advantage of this. Prepare your families for what's coming, because there is no substitute for good preparation. However, also prepare them to be brought into this new idea that we have to take back our lives from these controllers. We have been subjugated and oppressed by them for too long. We need to bring our value system back to a republic stand, where democracy doesn't reign, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to do a show on why democracy is bad. But the fact is, we need a republic structure with democratic values. And we'll go through what that is one day. But the fact is, we need to start realigning ourselves to build individual rights and responsibilities into our lives. We need to educate our children with the idea that teaching them to think is more important than teaching them to memorize. We need to start redoing our medical system to treat the causes of disease rather than the disease itself. We need to start looking at all kinds of different things in a new way. And it's time. You see, again, there are very few times in human history where we're given this chance. And if we miss it, it's going to be to our detriment. It's going to be to our own peril, ladies and gentlemen. I can't urge you enough to take a look at the things that I have presented on IamTheWitness.com, because the facts are there about the conspiracy that we face, but also the facts are that all of those problems that you read about, that you learn about, we can reverse them. We are remarkable creatures, human beings are. In spite of being called cattle by the Jews that are trying to subjugate us, those criminals, and that not all, again, the Jews, but the Zionist Jews, the fact of the matter is that we are remarkably resilient, and we are incredibly and boundlessly creative. And we should use all of our skills and all of our abilities and rise up to meet this challenge. We have to. I mean, if what's the alternative if we don't? I've often thought, if we fail at this, where will we be? And it is too terrible a thought to contemplate if we fail. Failure in this future is not an option, ladies and gentlemen. We can't afford it, because frankly, in my view, if we are not able to rise up to the level that we need to, I believe slavery is in the future for us all, more than we've already been in. We have been slaves now, for the most part, through a usury and the rest of it, but a true slavery, a true yoke will be cast over us, and we will be forever possibly enslaved. I don't see another chance coming like the one we have now. You know, I'm coming under all kinds of pressures here in France for speaking out the way I do. And I'm also coming under pressure down in South Africa. I know that that the Zionists in control of many elements of the South African society are demanding I stop broadcasting, I stop sharing these informations with you listeners. But the fact is, I'm going to keep soldiering on and doing this work until I'm stopped or until I take my final breath. Because look, what choice do I have but to do it? And you need to ask yourself the same question: what choice do you have but to rise up and be a hero in your own life? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we are to ourselves when we're being the best person we can be to ourselves, is a hero to our own lives. And that requires action. See, you can't be a hero in thought. You have to be a hero in thought and deed. And perfection is not the goal here, because I am the least perfect human you've ever known, and I fail to live up to a perfect standard in almost everything. But I have perfect determination to continue on and and working forward, looking forward to doing better. We all must take actions to fix this. And the biggest action, as I shared with you last program, not this particular hour, but the hour before, we must identify our enemy. We must begin to make lists in our own communities. Who's doing this to us? Who owns these companies that are holding us hostage? Who are the politicians that are being paid off, and who's paying them? Get names, get addresses, get crimes, get lists of things. Find out who it is we need to stop, and who it is we need to get out of our lives, so that when our opportunity comes, we can act. It is important to do. Now, by acting, I mean we need to stop these people, bring them to justice, and allow evidence to be brought out in any forum or court that shows clearly that the best interests of the society and the human beings within each country, that the respective country, has not been observed, but in fact has been destroyed by this group. And in almost every instance, you'll find out behind each one of these organizations is a Zionist criminal. Banking, media, medicine, science, crops, foods, distribution, does not matter. Technology, even government. It's a monopoly of sickness around the world, ladies and gentlemen. Get the names. Get the addresses. Take it down. Keep it handy. Network with your friends, neighbors, family, and work hard. This is the show for today. A little bit slower than usual. I will promise you a guest next time. But until then, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you, please be well. Bye-bye now.